Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I am Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host while Ewan Rankin is away doing important Ewan stuff. And as always, it's great to get to sit in for him. And Ewan, we're looking forward to when you can come back. We miss you. And as always, an amazing panel full of amazing people that are going to be amazing. I have no doubt. First up, Cal, how are you doing?
I'm good. Been another busy week that's flown by. I think I say it every week, but it's true every week, to be honest. Just lots of Macs fixed, lots of stuff done. And end of the month is always a very, very busy time. So, now we're into the next month and it's Friday and I'm on the show and I'm very happy to be here.
Well, as always, it's awesome to get to hang out with you. Chuck, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Jeff. I'm doing great. All seems right with the world, at least as of 5 minutes ago, 3 minutes ago. So we'll see what happens as the day progresses.
Or as the show progresses.
Yeah.
I mean, if today goes like yesterday did for the big show, the rails were there when I said hello everyone and welcome to the big show, and then we promptly left them and never went back.
Those things happen.
Yeah, so who knows? As always, it's great to get to hang out with you too.
Appreciate it. It's always fun.
And Dave, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Glad it's Friday. So we have a weekend coming up, and we're doing well. And glad to be here today and talk about all kinds of great Apple stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what we talk about. And I realized I am especially privileged this week because this is the third show that I've done with you and Chuck.
I know. It's like, I'll reserve my comment, but yes, it's been fun.
All right. Well, it's been great having Dave on the show. Bye. Yeah. And Cal, the reason I love you is because I know that you're just happy to be here and you don't have secret comments that you have to hold back. Well, shit.
Don't hurt yourself, Cal.
No. Of course, I love every second there. And it took every fiber of my being to hold that in. Right.
All right. Well, I guess as long as we're here, we might as well just go ahead and do the show. Excuse me. Okay. Since it's the Mac show and we've had product releases and software releases, that's where we'll start. So let's start with iOS 15 adoption. And we are seeing headlines like the one from Mac Rumors. It says iOS 15 suffering from several bugs as adoption rises to nearly 20%, which sounds to me like a passive aggressive way of saying that people are not installing iOS 15 because it's full of bugs. And I have my opinion on that, but I would love to hear all of yours first. How do you feel about iOS 15 adoption rate so far?
I think there's a very, very simple explanation behind it. Obviously, we deal with a lot of devices here at IMM Max, and pretty much around the same time as iOS 15 was released, they released another version of iOS 14, 14.8. So what a lot of people are doing, they're going onto the software update, and there is a big screen saying 14.8 download and install, and then you have to scroll down and press 15. And I don't think people are scrolling and pressing it. Whether I'm oversimplifying it, I don't know, but I think people go, oh, a new version of iOS, I'll download it, and they think they've downloaded it, and they may well not.
Well, there you go. I think we can wrap up the show right there.
Thank you very much. Goodbye. Yeah.
Okay. Go for it, Dave.
I think we talked about this briefly yesterday on InTouchable iOS. The fact of the matter is that Apple really isn't putting it out there to say, well, you got an upgrade. Because as soon as in past years, when you would go in to look for software updates, it's right there, iOS 15, you got to install it. It's ready to go. But now it's got the little blurb at the bottom that says, you know, also available, iOS 15. And it's letting people, for now, have an option to upgrade as opposed to, you could not upgrade it in the past where it would just sit there in the software updates. But now it just sits there. It's an option. So I think that's probably, after we talked about it, I think that really got to my mind that really stands out to where adoption rates are dropping a lot lower than what they were this time last year with iOS 14. And both versions had bugs too. I mean, 14 wasn't anything perfect either. We ran through a lot of stuff there as well. So it's not surprising at all. But what the amount of bugs that are out there right now, it is a little frustrating. You know, specifically the one that I don't like is the Apple Watch not working right now with wearing a mask. And that's going to come up in iOS 15.1. So if anything, it's a good idea, people. If you haven't upgraded yet, you can wait. And wait till 15.1 comes out, at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, I think there are two things here that we haven't talked about yet, though. The first one is, I find this really interesting, that people were so hot to put on iOS 15 betas, and yet we don't see the adoption. So I'd love to know if in their research, that with their conclusions of the number of people that have adopted 15, is it 15 or 15 betas, you know, are they giving credit for 15 betas or are they discounting 15 betas? I've not seen anything about that. I personally discount the bug thing because what David said would have been an annoyance if I'd gotten used to it.
Yeah.
The other thing though, is that, and I don't know if this is on the agenda to talk about, but there's a bug out there that is deleting photos under some very specific circumstances. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing that might prevent me, if I hadn't already upgraded, from upgrading, is the idea that anything can be, deleting anything when I don't want it to be. Other than that, the bugs I'm seeing are, they're minor annoyances. And I might say, darn it. But it's not going to prevent me from doing the upgrade for the benefits and other features, that the ones that I've experienced. So I'm kind of with Cal. I think I personally don't think that the bugs that are out there, except for that one, would prevent a whole lot of people from upgrading. And I'm not even sure that unless you're really one of us crazy people, that you're paying that much attention
right.
to all the smoke and fire that's coming out of macOS.
I mean, the other thing too is iOS 15, had a whole laundry list of new things that were coming out, and specifically that stood out was SharePlay, being able to share videos through FaceTime and be able to have a watch party with whether it be Netflix or if it be Apple TV Plus event or whatever, and that didn't get released either. So then there was a couple others I won't have to go into, but that in itself, it seemed like there was a fair amount of great features that Apple announced during WWDC that aren't out yet. So.
Right.
Let's wait.
Right. And excuse me, Monterey is not out yet. And some of these features that Apple announced, even if they were in iOS 15.0, they might as well not be, because they don't do anything until you have Monterey as well. What is it? Universal Access?
Yours access, that's it. Yep.
Yeah. And as far as framing the slow adoption as a bug concern, I'm with all of you. I think that's straight up wrong. There's a small minority that lives in our echo chamber that is aware of the different bugs. And outside of that, I don't think people really know. All they know is that there's a little one that shows up on the gear button on their iPhone, And when they see that, they're supposed to tap it and install a software update. Or they have automatic updates installed and it just installs the 14.8 update and leaves it there. And yeah, so most people, they have no idea. And Windwriter brought up something in the chat room that I hadn't heard before, but it's something that he experienced, which is that on his iPod Touch, that he had to scroll down to actually even see the iOS 15 update. So what that's telling me is that Apple set up the software update screen that shows iOS 14 and iOS 15 to fit on the larger displays than you have on an iPod Touch. So that also means that if you have an older iPhone, that you would have to scroll down to find the iOS 15 update. And without that, you would actually have no idea that the update is even out.
I mean, I've got an iPhone X and I did the update to iOS 15. And I have, you know, that isn't a tiny phone by any stretch of the imagination. And I had to go onto the device when I pressed the software update. It had, in the usual way, 14.8, and then I had to scroll down physically, and then it was in a little box with no blurb. You can upgrade to iOS 15 if you'd like. So I think
So even on an iPhone 10.
On an iPhone 10, wow. Yeah, which is not that old of a device, and the form factor is still fairly similar to your standard size phone you're going to go and buy today if it isn't the Pro Max model. And I had to scroll down, and someone I know who's got an XR, which is a bigger model, had to do the same. 14.8 was right up there, then 15 was below it. And I think, you know, it's people's nature to, you know, most people don't live in our world of bugs and software updates and things like that. So they go, oh, an update, oh, but I've already done it. So they're not going, oh, but I must have 15. They're just seeing an update and they're pressing the buttons accordingly.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So I can confirm with an iPhone 12 Pro, I did not have to scroll. So I'm going to speculate that based on what Windwriter has said and what you experienced, Cal, that you need an iPhone 11 or newer to not have to scroll to see the iOS 15 update.
Well, as you're talking about this, I'm looking at the screenshot I did of this 10S Max that I had that still had 14.8 on it, and I wanted to see what it looked like. And you do have to scroll down to look for the update to 15 at the bottom there. And it says also available. So I guess it all depends on which model and where they put it. And you know, I was going to talk about that yesterday, and I forgot I had put the screenshot on this phone and it's not hooked up in my iCloud. So, it's definitely... it's inconspicuous right now. It's very much down at the bottom. You have to actually go and physically move down to say, also available, and install it. So I think that is what I, like, as I mentioned earlier, that's probably what's been slowing upgrading.
Yeah. And also as well with that, if my memory serves me, with the 14.8 update, there was a big bit of blurb and it came up in the usual way. The 15 update is just a box. It's just a small box.
Mm-hmm. Cal, that's what I was going to ask if David, because I hadn't even thought about that. If David still has a phone on 14.8, do you have that little notification badge that there's an update available, or do you have to go looking? You know,
you had to go looking for it. That's what people do. I think that's the trigger of a lot of people when they see that little number one in the settings. Oh, there's something that has to be updated. They tap it. Okay, I'll update it. And that's I'm pretty confident, just as we've been discussing this today and yesterday, that is the case, that's what's really slowed it, a lot to do with what slowed it, because people, you know, most, not like us, where we do it anyway, a lot of people are just doing whatever, and they're not, when they see that, they don't, you know, I think it's a psychological thing. They see that number one sitting in the settings, like, oh God, I gotta update this. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Because I tell my whole family, I tell my family members, all my wife's sisters, hey, it's the time to update to iOS 15. I guarantee you, they don't see it because I have to tell them, and then that's the case because they're not seeing that little one.
Yeah, and I did not realize. I mean, I didn't think about it because, you know, like you say, we live in the echo chamber, but that that nobody was getting that specific update. I know the 14-point update. I was telling everybody, in my circle, you know, okay, this you got to do right now. You got to do it right now. 15, obviously not, and nothing is prompting them to do it. So they're just going merrily along until somebody tells them or something tells them that they should do it.
Absolutely.
And I would venture to say that most iPhone users have absolutely no idea that Apple has a fall release schedule for major software upgrades, and that they don't even know this stuff is out.
Right.
Yes, Apple did their big, highly produced keynote event, which I thought was very nice. And yes, they talked about all kinds of stuff at WWDC. This is stuff that the majority of people just aren't going to be tuned into. And they might get a little blurb on their evening news or whatever general news they consume. They might get something about an Apple software, big Apple software update, but it's not going to be the type of coverage that we do or that we look for. So it's going to be something that's very easy for them to miss.
Jeff, you know, those are some really interesting observations. I don't think I've ever heard, unless we're talking about a major problem, I don't think I've ever heard on the mainstream news that Apple's new software version came out today.
Oh.
What I hear is that, Apple had their iPhone event or whatever, and we can look forward to, you know, these new features in this new iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And people pay attention to it for that long. And the reason I'm measuring that long is because people are still buying 12s, you know, 3 days before the release date of the 13.
Yes.
And so, you know, and you would think anybody you said, well, hey, you know, the new model's coming out in 3 days and, you know, it's got this, that, you might want to pay attention to it. Oh, yeah, okay. I have a hard time visualizing somebody saying, I'm going to pay this price now when I could pay the same thing or maybe just a little more and get the absolute latest. So I think all this, it would be interesting to see if you could get an announcement on the major news. It would also be interesting if Apple said, today we're announcing the iPhone 13 and you can order it today. It's in the stores today.
Right.
What the sales figures would be for that, but that's not the way it's done and that's fine. I think it just lends credence to everything we're saying here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as well, it's something that we've discussed previously on the show and it all goes back to us in this echo chamber, iPhone sales don't really dip. Obviously you have the big rush when the new one comes out of all, you know, lots of people buying it. But if you take that out of the equation, iPhone sales are really steady. Like 3 days before the event, as you say, Chuck, people are still going to be buying iPhones in exactly the same way as they would, you know, 2 months after the event, because people want to go and buy an iPhone, and they buy the iPhone and it has the software it has on it on, and until something stops working or they can't do what they wanted to do on it, that's when they start to press the buttons to try and make it work again. So I think, you know, I'll be interesting to see with that breakdown as well of people upgrading, how many people are still on iOS 14.2 and 14.3 and iOS 13 and things like that, because a lot of people, we get it here, they don't go out of their way to update things because they don't need to, because it's working still. So it's only people with automatic software updates and people who want to update it like us.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
In the chat room, Windwriter is noting that just before the iPhone 13 came out, the 64 gig iPhone 12 was still on sale, priced at the same price point as the 128 gig iPhone 13.
Yeah, silly. And
But yeah, people will go into stores days, and I've seen it. I've been in an Apple store just a few days before a new iPhone model comes out. Someone says, I want to buy a new iPhone. And the employees tell them, hey, there's a new model coming out at the end of the week. Do you want to wait for that? And the response is, no, I want to buy an iPhone. And then they buy just whatever is available and leave the store happy with that. Chuck, you brought up earlier the lost data bug.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I wanted to talk some about the bugs people are experiencing, because why not? As long as we're calling Apple to task over the way they're doing whatever, let's just go ahead and drag them all around. So let's talk about some bugs. So the data bug, and I do have a link for a story for that as well. Fill us in on that, please. I put you on the spot.
Yeah, you really did, Jeff. I'm afraid that I've, since it didn't really apply to me, or was not of a great concern, I didn't pay that much attention to it. Let me do it this way and then straighten it out if I mess it up. But my understanding is that if someone sends you a photo in a message, and then you try to save it to your photo roll, it can delete both versions and they're gone.
Okay. So first, I'm sorry I put you on the spot.
No, that's all right.
But second, what just happened was actually awesome, because you know, we've been sitting here talking about, well, we're in the echo chamber and we're on top of all these bugs, and this is why people aren't, or you know, news reports are saying this is why people aren't doing upgrades. Okay, here's a big bug that in our echo chamber is big news, and you're like, I kind of think this is what it is. Okay, so even for us, the people that are staying on top of this, there's still stuff with all the bugs that we're missing out on. And yet there's the rest of the world who isn't on top of this. How can we expect them to be paying attention and staying on top of what bugs are happening so that they can decide not to do a software update when we're sitting here and here you are, very knowledgeable, and you weren't even exactly sure what this bug was?
Yeah, but you know what, Jeff? Okay, so let's go that. We'll get back to the bug in a second. But I think your point's well taken, because I read this, and I, you know how you read things, you think about them, and then you decide it's not worth remembering, and so you kind of put it off to the side. And that's what happened to me with this particular bug. Is it something I need to worry about? Is it something that anyone that I interact with on a regular basis that I think I should warn them about? And it was like, that really didn't strike me as that way. So I just kind of filed it away it would be an inconvenience at worst, not like it's going to delete your photo roll. Oh my God. Okay. We got to talk about that. So yeah, if it sounds like I'm making an excuse, no, it's just, it was one of those things. Yeah. There's a bug here, but it's not something that concerns me a whole lot, or I think should concern too many people. Mm-hmm. So, and maybe you all disagree with that, and that's fine. That was just my judgment on it.
No, I don't disagree. And like I said, I love that when I unintentionally put you on the spot, this is where we ended up, because really makes it so clear to me that the whole people aren't adopting iOS 15 because it's so buggy.
Yeah.
No, that's a lot of crap. That is not the case.
And you were absolutely right in pulling me into it, because I was the one that brought it up in the earlier discussion. So I was expressing an opinion about something maybe I shouldn't have been expressing an opinion about.
So this is all on you.
It's all on me. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll fill in the bits that you didn't have, because I mean, you were totally on the right track. So Here's the scenario. I sent you a photo of Kat dancing in the hall, and you're like, oh, that's a great photo. And here it is in messages. So I'll just save it. And then later on you decide, oh, I need to free up some space on my iPhone. So I'm going to delete this conversation with Jeff because it has all these cat photos in it that are taking up all this extra space in messages. So you delete the conversation. Now the photo of Kat that you thought you had saved into photos disappears and is gone. And that's the bug. So photos that come from messages let me use different words so that it doesn't become as confusing. Pictures that come from messages and then go into photos are disappearing when you delete the conversation in messages.
Okay, so that would mean that the photo that's in the message as well as the photo that's in the library both go.
Right. And my hypothesis is that when the photo's coming in through messages, that what Apple's doing, instead of duplicating the image to save storage space, they're simply setting a flag on it that says which application owns the image. And there's a bug with that, which is preventing the flag from saying Photos owns it, or even though that flag has been set, Messages is still deleting it anyhow.
It isn't transferring it from Messages to Photos if the conversation is deleted.
That's my guess. Now this also impacts, from what I understand, only people that are using iCloud Photo Library.
Right.
So let me run a little experiment here. There are four of us that are avid iPhone users. Mm-hmm. How many people here would that affect? How many times does Jeff text you a photo of Kat and you say, I really like that, I'm going to save that?
And more than you can imagine.
Let me try again. Jeff sends you a picture of his... No, I mean, seriously, how do you do that? Is that a thing that you do?
I mean, the only thing that I would say to it, I can't remember the last time I deleted a text conversation. Okay. To be honest with you, I don't talk to that many different people over text. Like, you know, that I would go, oh, no, I no longer want to talk to you. So it wouldn't really affect me pretty much at all. At all, I don't think.
Okay. David?
Yeah. The only conversations I delete are the spam messages that come in. Mm-hmm. And then every now and then, the automated messages I get from my cell service provider, hey, we added a new feature, or thanks for paying your bill, and it's not the spam message, thanks for paying your bill. Then I'll get a conversation that has hundreds and hundreds of messages that are just, you paid. I'll delete that and let it start over again. But
verification codes and things like that, yeah.
I suppose. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the messages I get, I mean, they're ones I don't need anymore. I just delete it and take it out. There might be some work-related ones I don't need to keep anymore. But you're right. I mean, many of the times I just keep the conversations going. If there's conversations in here that are really old, going back a year or two, then I hadn't been active in them in quite a while, I'll clear it out. But with the advent of iCloud and the backups, that's the people I've always been concerned about with iMessage, is the fact that, it that's what takes up a lot of your space too. You know, I probably have, I think in my messages is about 2 gigabytes worth of stuff, and that's probably nothing compared to some other people. So that's always the concern, is you don't want to lose that. But this bug was involving iCloud Photo Library. So you got to be concerned is if you lose that, because you probably tend to don't want to lose that. But again, like Kyle says, he doesn't get a ton of text messages. The fact that it's not that critically important if you were to lose it, you know, because that's what text messages are. They're a temporary piece of communication that you may or may not need to keep, but it all varies with how people work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but not one of you answered my question. Okay, you told
this me... doesn't affect me at all.
Well,
it doesn't affect me. Yeah, it does affect me.
But I do save a lot of photos that people send me. Like, for example, my parents will send me photos. Like, hey, here we are up on Trail Ridge Road, and it's beautiful. Yeah. Look at the fall colors. And I'm like, oh, I love it. And I save the photo. Or I get photos of my nieces. Hey, here they are at the swim meet or whatever. And I save those photos. So yeah, I actually do save quite a few photos that come into messages.
Okay. That was the question. And I can think of a couple times I've done it, but honestly, usually when I'm doing it is I seldom get a picture from, let's say, Jeff or Cal and say, oh, I really like, you know, I'm going to save that. I tend to go through, and if I'm going to delete a thread or delete or need to save some space, I will go through and delete those photos out of messages. And every once in a while, there might be one I want to keep. That's when I'll save it. And that's when the bug could bite me.
Right.
But that happens, you know, maybe once in 6 or 8 months. And now with the advent of even more storage on the iPhones, I know I'll get sloppier about it. And therefore, the photos are going to sit there in messages.
Mm. A question that I'd have as well, someone in Jeff's case who manually saves a picture, would that affect him? So if he manually saves a picture, then deletes the conversation, does his photo disappear?
In my case, probably not, because I don't use iCloud Photos or iCloud Photo
Library. Right, okay. But if you were to use iCloud Photo Library, manually save it and then delete the conversation?
Yeah. Supposedly, yes, this would impact me.
Right, okay. That's interesting, because I'm someone who I don't have anything automatically saving to my photo library. It's all if I want to save something, then I'll save it. So it does have the possibility to affect, I suppose, but again, it wouldn't be a huge disaster at the same time.
And I want to make clear here, I'm not defending Apple or minimizing the bug. Okay, that's not. That was not it. So, because I know somebody's going to say, oh, yeah, you're just an Apple apologist and, you know, this is not a big deal. No, it is absolutely. Anytime you're deleting something that you can't get back, that's a pretty big deal. But it's just, it's not as big a deal maybe as it's being made out to be. And unless you have the specific workflow that they warned you about, and then it's a very big deal. And Cal, we can solve your problem. If you'll just put your phone number in the chat, we can make sure you get plenty of text messages.
Right. Yeah. Oh, Chuck, you should check your phone.
Yeah.
oh God. Yeah, there's, yep. Okay. Okay. There's a picture of cat.
You have a photo you can save.
I have a photo of cat that I can save and then I'll delete and see if the bug bites me. No, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to lose the picture. So
isn't it such a cute photo?
Oh, it's just, yeah.
Office manager. For everyone that's wondering, no, seriously, I really did just text a photo of my cat to Chuck, and I tried to choose a cute one. She's using my hand as a pillow. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Chuck, Bob Beach says you're just an Apple apologist. all right. So
I wear the badge proudly, Bob.
So I'm curious, from your perspectives, do you feel like iOS 15 is buggier than previous iOS releases?
Me, I think it's pretty neck and neck. 14 had its issues, and 15 has its issues too. There's some notable ones as we've been talking about. This topic seems to be that we are talking about now is very, very active here and very active. We talked yesterday. So it's obviously enough of an important topic that we are concerned. Is a photo going to get deleted or not? And you don't really want that to happen. But beyond that, I mean, I think the other ones I mentioned, I think the bugginess is to be expected and I'm fine with it.
I don't think I can really give an opinion because
you don't have it.
Well, you're on a podcast. That makes you uniquely qualified to give an opinion, even if you don't have any basis for it.
I mean, I will give an opinion, but for iOS 14, I ran it on beta. I haven't run it on beta for iOS 15, so I don't think it would be a strictly fair comparison. Although what I would say is, I'm on iOS 15 on quite an old device, and I have been pleasantly surprised about how well it's ran. I haven't noticed it being particularly laggy. You know, bearing in mind it is a four-year-old iPhone. I haven't noticed it go any slower. I haven't really noticed my battery life go down, to be honest with you. I'm very, very pleased with it. So, it seems to be working well despite the age of the device.
I find it to be pretty stable. I have not run into anything consistently that I can say is one of these bugs or any other bugs. So, that maybe I'm just not doing the right things to encounter them. But I've been very happy with how stable I'm not going to ask that question because we'll be here another half hour. But I don't find the missing features annoying. You know, when they get there, they get there, and then I'll take a look at them. But there's been nothing that makes me say, gee, I really shouldn't have upgraded, or I wish I could have waited.
Yeah. And for me, some of the bugs that people are experiencing don't impact me, like, because I don't use iCloud Photo Library. I'm not running an iPhone 13, so I'm not dealing with the non-registering touch stuff on the screen. I don't have a problem with unlocking my iPhone 12 Pro while wearing a face mask, like some iPhone 13 users are having. So anyhow, when I look at iOS 15 overall, what I'm seeing is that as far as bugs go, it's not really any worse for me than iOS 14.0 was. And I think that we also have this sliding scale that we use for how buggy the initial release of an iOS version is. So what I remember is when iOS 13 came out, it was a dumpster fire. I mean, it was horrible. And we were getting updates on a very regular basis just to make it a functional operating system. And then when iOS 14 came out, it definitely had bugs at the beginning. And we were getting like super fast updates for that. But people weren't talking about iOS 14, like, I can't believe how buggy it is, because we still remembered the iOS 13 release. And we're like, wow, this is like production ready. We can actually use this. It's not a completely broken operating system. This is so much better than iOS 13. Now we get iOS 15 coming out, and I'd say it's on par-ish with iOS 14 for stability and bugs. But because now we're comparing it to last year, we're saying, wow, this is a really buggy release. So depending on what we get next year as far as bugs go in iOS 16, well, we'll either have people saying, wow, this is so much better this year, or not. We're very fickle animals.
But Jeff, you said something, you used a word in there that I think is really interesting. And it sort of tracks in with something Bob Beach just put in the chat room, that some users, I have not seen anything that says conclusively that these bugs are biting everybody, which makes it, first of all, it makes it really tough to track down. If it was always broken, then it would be a lot easier. But either people aren't noticing, or it's not biting everybody. And that's the part. Now, Bob just said he has the no unlocking with mask on bug. And it's annoying as he's gotten used to it. I'm going to go try that. My mask is in the other room. I'd try it live right now. But I think that, just the fact that not everybody is screaming about this is indicative of something. I'm just not sure what.
Yeah, You know, the last time I remember seeing a bug in iOS where I felt heads need to roll was, it might have been in iOS 13. It was either 12 or 13. There was an update that came out, a point update that came out that broke the phone function. So you could not make or receive phone calls on an iPhone. And I installed the update and that happened. And luckily I have backups and I have the knowledge to be able to roll back my operating system on my iPhone when necessary. And that's what I ended up having to do. And I mean, a bug like that. So bugs that make you lose data, bugs that break critical core functionality, those to me, those are the real problems. And we're not seeing that other than this bug with photos coming out of messages for some people, which that makes it a big problem, data loss. But we're not really seeing these critical problems cropping up. And so to me, that's a good sign.
Agreed.
Something to add to that, actually, which just dawned on me. At this point, after iOS 14 was released, I'd already had, I think, two or three devices in which had failed to update. And were either getting an Apple logo on loop or, you know, something to that effect. I haven't had any yet. Not one. So I know the uptick's been lower, but I haven't had a single phone in which has died doing an update, which we get every year just because it is quite an intense thing to do to a phone, especially an older one.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. I mean, what Apple's doing with software updates and the fact that doing a major software upgrade to your iPhone doesn't brick it or doesn't make you have to start over from scratch, that's amazing. I mean, the technical magic that companies have to do to be able to make it so you can just tap a button on your phone and then, 20 minutes or an hour later, whatever it is, it's got a whole new operating system and all this new software and all your stuff is still there and it works. I mean, that is crazy.
You know, and also as well, the fact that they roll it out to a device that is 6-7 years old now in the iPhone 6S. And if you're someone that owns an iPhone 6S and has brought it the day it was released and you've had it ever since, you've got a 6 or 7 year old battery in that device, which is going to be, well, it's going to be nowhere near perfect. I'll put it that way. And we're not seeing, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of iPhone 6S's coming in or 7s. Because Apple do a really good job of making sure these updates go out and they work well and they work properly. And they've got the checks and balances in place that you have to have it plugged in. And if your battery says service, you have to have it plugged in while you're doing the iOS update, which are really, I know it sounds simple, but I don't think every manufacturer out there would do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Muller in the chat room, I'm assuming his comment is response to me saying it, it's like there's magic happening on the back end to make these software updates work. And he says, just like every other company. But yeah, just like every other company. It's amazing that this is something that we can do now. And it's not a major process for end users. And it doesn't matter if it's Apple or if it's Samsung or Google or Sonos or it doesn't matter. The fact that we have the technology and have figured out how to do this so that the average person, without having any concern, can just tap a button and say, yeah, give me the new thing. And it just works. Holy crap. That's amazing. Yeah. Hey, this show and all the others on British Tech Network are sponsored by TSO Hosts. And that's pretty awesome because that means we can be here live so Mueller can complain about the comments we're making about Apple and other tech companies. Seriously, we're here for you, Mueller. But TSO Hosts, they're awesome because they're giving us the bandwidth that we need so we can do live streams of shows. They're giving us the server space we need so that we can host the recordings so that you can go and watch or listen at your leisure to previous shows. Go back and relive your favorite moments. For example, Chuck getting a photo of Kat. And seriously, who wouldn't want to relive that moment? Or yesterday's big show where it was just Ian Grant and me, and we just kind of went wherever and had discussions. And it turns out had a discussion about the fact that humans have stripes. I am not kidding. So you can go check that out by checking out the recording when Ewan gets that posted to the server. But anyhow, TSO Hosts, they make all this possible for us. And without their help, we would not be here at all because there would be no way that we could afford to have the bandwidth and the server space to bring you amazing, high quality, intelligent content like this. So thank you to TSO Hosts for that. Now, if you need domains or you need hosting, hit them up and use the discount code BTN20 and you'll get a discount for that. Also, head to social media and give them a shout out and let everyone know that you appreciate that TSO Hosts is here for us. And then you can, yes, Kat's been up here on my desk and just did a little cameo with her tail. But anyhow, so you'll be able to see things like that by going back and watching the recordings. You'll be able to see body parts fly across behind Callum at random times, or see him pantomime and pretend like he's in an office and open doors. It's you don't want to miss out on stuff like that. So anyhow, thank you, TSO Hosts, for being here for us. You absolutely rock. And speaking of Callum, IMN Max sponsors us as well, complete with pantomime entertainment. And I don't mean British pantomime. I mean like American or French pantomime where Cal can open invisible doors for us. But beside that, Cal, it's just awesome. I love seeing arms or torsos just go zipping by behind you. And I pretend like you're in some deranged factory where body parts just go flying along, and that's totally normal.
I do think the deranged bit's better, right? I mean, you know, it's, you know, we close in about 5-10 minutes here. And at the end of the week, every Friday, we empty the bins, which apparently is some sort of massive event in this office. I've never known people go so mental when they're trying to empty a bin. It's absolutely unreal. Apparently we just have random body parts flying around behind me, but that's fine because, there we go.
There we go. All right. Well, IMN Max doesn't have random body parts flying around. They're actually fixing Apple gear, and they're doing it in, despite the body parts, they're doing it in an environmentally conscious way, because instead of just ripping out the logic board in your device and throwing it away and sending it to a landfill, they find what's actually broken and replace that component. So yes, that means that, Callum is a soldering iron wizard. And put that on your business card.
I want that as my job title. That's
fantastic. That can be your job title now. Yeah. So they fix your stuff and they fix it right. They don't send stuff to landfills that doesn't need to go there. And it's just awesome. And one of these days, it will happen. Cal is going to be able to crack open my iPad mini 4 and put a new battery in it for me. And and it will be glorious, absolutely glorious. And I say that knowing that we aren't even on the same continent, and there's an Apple store that's a 5-minute drive from my place. So I could have my battery replaced anytime I want, and yet I don't, because it's not Cal. So in addition to repairs, you can get gear from Iman Mac. So if you need a new Mac, you can, or a used Mac, you can buy or lease from them, which is totally awesome. And Cal, do you have any devices of the week that you want to highlight?
Still got about 45 iMacs. So if anyone wants any, reach out on the Slack room, drop us an email. We've got a lot, and we're looking to get rid of them. So please do, if you want one, let us know.
Well, I'm just going to toss this out there as an idea for people. 45 Macs available at awesome prices, and Marathon is an open source free download. Buy yourself 45 Macs and have a LAN party. It'll be epic. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some people that'll be like, I have literally no idea what that means. But for the rest of us, it's like, oh my God, that would be so cool.
I must admit, I did just politely nod.
Oh, bless your heart.
Oh yeah, great idea. Brilliant,
yeah. All right, well, Google LAN party, and don't worry, it's a safe search. You'll be okay. Mention that you're a BTN fan when you go into Iman Max, and they'll give you a discount. And
yes.
And everyone, don't forget, when you go in, give Kellum a hug for me. Hold it just a little bit too long so it's just slightly awkward, and then whisper to him, that's for Jeff. that's what you need to do.
He's out of roll today.
So thank you. Man. Yeah, thank you, Iman Max, for being our sponsor, or at least having been our sponsor up to this point. And thank you to TSO host. Also, one more thing before we move on to our cool things. Thank you, everyone, for keeping the Daily News Show alive. In the middle, Mac. Oh my God, there was another arm that flew past. Yes. The Daily News Show continues. Yesterday, Thursday, would have been our last day for that show, except everyone pulled it together, and we have enough money. The show is running through October because there's enough money for that. And as long as people keep their donations coming in, the show will just keep going on. So thank you so much. You all absolutely rock. Thank you to everyone that stepped up to keep the Daily News Show alive. And I would give every one of you hugs, and they could be awkward or not. That's up to you. So thank you to everyone. You're absolutely awesome. Okay.
Don't think it is up to them.
Well, you know, hugs, they're subjective and personal. Okay. It's time for cool things. So, Callum, what do you have for us?
So, my cool thing this week, I'd imagine it's one that's been around forever and a day, but it came in handy the other week. We were doing a data recovery from a Time Machine backup, and Apple seems to have a very strange way of making you not able to copy Time Machine backups. And SuperDuper did the trick for me. So, a piece of software that's been around forever and a day. It keeps getting updated, and it works still absolutely flawlessly. And it was the only thing that could do the job for me. So, absolutely brilliant. And, yeah, I mean, I'm sure everyone knows about it, but it was absolutely great, and it did the trick. £25, a bargain, absolute bargain.
Super Duper is part of my daily backup routine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't blame you. Absolutely wonderful.
Yep, Super Duper and Carbon Copy Cloner. That's my my 1-2 punch for local backups.
Those are the two I use for recovery and cloning. So there you go.
So awesome, good pick. I like Super Duper. Okay. Chuck, what do you have?
Well, this, I got a new iPad mini, and this is not the pick. And in fact, this is not even usable. Well, yeah, it is.
Oh, great
with,
pick.
With the iPad mini. Yeah. This is a keyboard that comes from Bridge that fit my old iPad mini. And I have to tell you that it, when I got the Bridge, I really wasn't sure about it. It made a huge difference in the productivity of the iPad mini. But Bridge is no longer making that size. And so far, they have not announced anything for the mini yet. So I decided to try this. Sorry, I forgot to put the link in the chat room. So there. So this is a keyboard and case combination. Comes from ProCase. It's about $38. Now, this is relatively heavy. Relatively, so it's not like 20 pounds or anything, but it's relatively heavy. This is like ridiculously light. And as you can see, it detaches. It attaches to the case via magnets so that, you know, it doesn't move around once you put it there. The only issue I've had with this so far is that you can't leave the keyboard in place. Again, we're tough to explain here and show it, but you can't leave the keyboard in place and close the case because the way the case is designed, it does not wrap around properly. You have to tuck it back in a little bit closer. And if you tuck it back in closer, then there's no opportunity for you to have the triangle-like stand that will keep it upright. So it's I'm half and half on it. I think it's very nice. The keys are a little bit smaller than the Bridge, and so it takes a little getting used to. I want to work with it for another few days to see if I think this is going to be for me. But I would tell you that if nothing else, I mean, the keyboard, if you don't mind carrying the keyboard separately, this is a nice little keyboard for it. It does connect via Bluetooth. But I tell you, I've found no lag whatsoever. I would say that this is one of those that I'm not going to tell you absolutely run out and buy, unless you can return it. But I think it definitely is worth a look. If I fold it up properly and tuck the keyboard where it's supposed to be, it goes, you know, it's very small. It's no bigger than, in fact, it's not even as big as my ring binder. That I use for notes. So yeah, it's a grand total of $37.99 US at Amazon right now. So check it out, see, maybe it's for you, maybe it's not. But I will tell you this, that my experience, I was quite surprised when I brought the keyboard for the old mini. That was a game changer. Oh, one other thing I want to mention about this, compared to the iPad Pro, and Apple's Magic Keyboard for that, this does not have a trackpad. So that's another thing that now I've gotten used to using an iPad with a trackpad and with the keyboard. And now my finger goes down, there's nothing there. So, you know, again, these are early days. I mean, the Mac Mini's been out, what, a week, week and a half? So, you know, give it time, but this is also not a lot of money to invest for a keyboard and a case if you feel the need on an urgent basis.
Awesome. I like that it also has a slot for your Apple Pencil.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad you said that, Jeff. It does do that, which is something that I think that all the iPads now that support the minis should. I don't have the pencil in there, but right there. So, and that's the one thing I don't like about Apple's Magic Keyboard is that if I put the pencil on it, even though I'm not a big pencil user, if it gets knocked off or something, you know, when I'm carrying it, I might never know it. And there goes my pencil. This tucks right in there and is not going anywhere. So there you go. The ProCase Mini 6 Keyboard Case 2021. Try it out.
Awesome. Cool. All right, Dave, what do you have?
I have an app. I have an app called Display Buddy. And this controls external displays from your Mac menu bar. And it's pretty simple. It gives you control to display settings. You can create presets with white, with brightness, contrast. If your monitor is built in volume, you can adjust that as well right from there. You can use multiple displays. Works on Apple Silicon and works on most Apple displays as well as it works on most common displays. And it's just a simple little app, $8.99, but it's in SetApp. So you can get it as part of your SetApp subscription. And it's awesome. A great little app.
Glad you I'm glad you said that because I was actually at the checkout.
I teased you.
Yeah.
But it's right up in the little menu there and it's out of the way. And if you, and you know, with my new 32 inch screen I've had for a month or two now, this is great because now I don't have to go digging to change the brightness, the contrast, just simple settings. And then you have access to both displays because I have my app, my MacBook Pro's display open next to me as well as this display. And you can adjust both.
Simple awesome. App. All right. Very I'll be cool, downloading David. That as well, as soon as I'm done talking about my cool thing, because holy crap, that's awesome. Okay. Yeah. My cool thing is a plugin for Safari in iOS 15 and on your iPhone and iPad, and it's called Amplosion. And what it does is take all of the Google AMP links that you get and convert them back into regular URLs. So it breaks you out of the AMP view. And it's wonderful because, the concept of Google AMP is cool because it's about presenting content to you in a readable way and making it faster. The reality is this is Google hijacking everyone else's content. Yep. And Google AMP doesn't always display things in a more readable fashion. And because there's some extra overhead, it isn't always faster either. So my feeling is anytime I can break out of AMP, I should. So for it's like $2.99, here's this Safari extension that will break me out of Google AMP. Amplosion. It is awesome.
Just bought it.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. Because it's that great. It is so worth the $2.99. All right. So now, before we do anything else, I have to click install on Display Buddy. Okay. Now I can say, wow, we made it to the end of the show, and the great thing about today's show is. We didn't really have rails to begin with. We just had the station and we stepped off the platform and kept going. So we technically never left the rails today. But this has been a lot of fun. And Callum, where can people find you?
Find us and everything we do at immmax.com. We're on all the usual socials at immmax. I'm in the Slack room. I'm on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. You can reach out to me or anyone else who is part of the team here and ask any questions. And if you need anything, we are always happy to help. And thank you for a great show as always, Jeff.
It's been absolutely awesome as always. And I'm so glad that you didn't let us down. We had body parts flying through.
Body parts shouting. Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Chuck, where can people find you?
I'm over at MacVoices.com. That's where you can find everything I do. We do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, whatever time it is, wherever you are. We'd love to have you join us in the YouTube chat room at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. Jeff and David are pretty regulars. If Callum wasn't asleep, he would definitely be a regular. And Callum, you're always welcome if you wake up in the middle of the night and want to join us. You know, there you go.
Have to take you up on that one, don't you?
Definitely. And I'm at Chuck Joyner on the socials. And I will commit right now to the fact that you won't see any tails flying past me or in front of me during the show. You can do with that what you want.
I'm doing a lot in my mind with
I know you are.
Yeah. Dave, where can people find you?
You could find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. By the time you hear this show, we'll have the latest episode, which was a great show with Jeff and Chuck and Warren came back. And you also can find us on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/DaveG65. I'm on the Mac Voices live show every Tuesday. And I'm also on Twitter at DaveG65. Great show, Jeff. Great job.
Loads of fun as always. Yes. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamut both places, and youtube.com/JayGamut for my videos. Tuesdays, most of them on Mac Voices Live. At this point, I think it's safe to say many Thursday evenings on In Touch with iOS. And then, of course, the big show on Thursdays, the Mac show on Fridays. And other shows. So Google me. I'm easy to find. Thank you to all four of you for being Thank you to all three of you for being here. Math is hard. I went to schools in the United States. Anyhow, thank you to all three of you for being here. You are absolutely awesome. And wonderfully patient with me as well, I have to add. All of you rock. And to everyone that tuned in and is with us live, thank you for being part of this. You are absolutely awesome. And if you're watching or listening to the recordings later on, thank you for being part of this as well. All of you absolutely rock. And I realized that because Patrice is here, I never said anything about the chat room. So let's power through this together and see if we can make it happen. So there is a chat room that we have that's running during the shows, and the links for everything we talk about, the cool things that we bring to the show, those are all in that chat. So if you want to find today's chat or participate in the chats, hold on, because
you can find it at britishtechnetwork.com/chat. I had the tab open because I knew what was coming.
Oh, you are the best. You are the best. Oh, okay. So then the other thing that Patrice will eloquently say is that you need to navigate to the right day and the right time. But since we've already established that I can't even count how many people are on the show today, I'm not even going to try to do time zone math. So instead, I will say what you need to do is go to October 1st, and then you're just on your own. I'm pretty sure there's going to be the one chat there, October 1st. And then you'll be able to find the chat and find all the links. Oh, see, this is why I rely on Patrice for this every week, because it becomes this.
She's the best.
She is the best. Oh, wow. Okay. Anyhow, so back to the part that I can do and not completely fall off the rails with it. Thank you, everyone, for being here. You're absolutely awesome. Thank you to TSO Hosts for being our sponsor. Don't forget to use the discount code PTN20 to get discounts on their services. Give them a shout out on social media. Give them some love because they deserve it. And thank you to Iman Max for being our sponsor because they're absolutely awesome. And I genuinely appreciate that they let Callum sneak away for an hour or so every Friday to be with us. And I just realized, I'm assuming they let you do this. For all I know, you go rogue every Friday and you're like, screw you, I'm doing a show. You know what? In my mind now, that's headcanon. That's it. That's what happens every week. Screw you, I'm doing a show.
I mean, that's why you see so many arms flying behind me. It's people trying to grab me and pull me back to my soldering station. And no, you've got to come back and fix laptops.
And you are physically fighting off people to be on the show. Mm-hmm. Now, see, that's commitment right there.
That's right.
Dave, why don't you do that? I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Okay. They're pulling me away now.
Oh, see? Yeah. So Chuck, now you're the lazy one.
Well, I've been getting phone calls throughout the show, which I will have to return. So
Yes.
Of random.
I guess that's kind of like that.
But
that
you do get a cat random photo. Cat pictures. Yeah.
But I did get a cat photo. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyhow, thank you to everyone. You're absolutely awesome. Don't forget to tune in next week for the big show on Thursday. Come back for the Mac show on Friday. And thank you again for keeping the Daily News Show alive. And let's keep some money coming in so that that just goes on for the next 13 years as well. You're all absolutely awesome. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you again next week.